Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well. Hey, welcome to another Parents Coding Parents Network. I'm your host, M.A. Scott, Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm kind of off this morning, off this evening, and, you know, but I promise you it's going to be another sessions full of information, nothing but great information. As always, I like to try to promise you some information that's going to be an eye-opener for not only you parents, but for your child as well. You know, we always strive to get that information out to you and your children so that you'll get the best out of your child's ambition to be involved in sports. You know, and we like to put a little focus on the recruiting process and things of that nature, the transition from middle school to high school, the transition from high school to college, and if so be it, the transition from college to the professional life. All of those transitions are key important parts in your child's life, and even more so in your life, you know, because you were the one that made all of that possible for your child to succeed. I hope that you was actively involved in, you know, everything from point A to point B. But if you wasn't, then, you know, that may be somewhat of a very interesting issue. But as always, you know, we like to start out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith did this little piece for us here on Blog Talk Radio some years ago, and we kind of sort of stuck with it and made it our theme song for each and every show. So as soon as I get my switchboard up and running here, we'll flip on over to Keith and let Keith go ahead and do his thing, because we can't start our show out the right way without going to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and let him do his part. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Keith said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And I definitely have to go along with him this evening that he's making smart cool each and every time that I hear that, folks. Each and every time that I hear that, I get so excited and realize that that young man has done some phenomenal things in his life, and he did it by making smart. Well, folks, I said we're going to have something to talk about this evening, and we're going to get into the show here real soon, but if you want to call in and chime in on the conversation, or you just want to share some of your insight or have some questions about something that we covered here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network, by all means, please feel free to call in. You can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, folks. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Always, always know that you got something to bring to the table and some share some information with you, and you can share some information with us as well. So on that note, we're going to move forward into our show for this evening. What are we going to talk about? I didn't even post that on our site today, but, you know, I figured that it's something that we really need to touch upon, something that we probably haven't touched upon in quite some time, you know, and if it sounds like some of our shows from time to time may be a little redundant, they are, because this information that I share with all of you and our children can't be said enough, because this information is definitely something that's going to help you and your child get a very full experience to what the recruiting world and the scholarship process is all about. So, on that note, folks, this is what we're going to talk about this evening. Yeah, I thought about doing a 1999 Penn State study, but, you know, I think I'll postpone that, and I'll go back and get on something else, something that a good friend of ours, a friend of ours from the show, decided to share with us some time ago. And this information has always been, it's not complete. This information that I was going to share has always been great information, and information that we can always use as parents. I'm trying to pull something up here because I know, you know what? I'm just going to do something real simple here. You know, I'm going to do something real simple. I want to talk about something that many of us have forgotten about. And I think it's time that we really and truly touch upon. And I'm going to use my reference for this evening, the Guidebook for Student Athletes, the Guidebook for College-Bound Student Athletes, the NCAA's Guide for College-Bound Student Athletes. That's what I'm going to use as a reference for this evening's conversation. So if you want to, again, chime in on the conversation, by all means, please feel free. Some information for you. Some of you may have heard it before. Some of you may not have heard it before. But I think each and every one of you can benefit from it. So we're going to touch on information coming from the Guide for College-Bound Student Athletes. Guide for College-Bound Student Athletes. You know, this is a guide that comes out each and every year. School hasn't provided you with one, then I suggest we reach out to the Eligibility Center and request access to the website where you can download one. I think that's the way they're sending them out nowadays. They're not doing a whole lot of paper copies. They're actually sending them out via email where you probably can download one. And if not, folks, you know you can always reach back to the Parents Coach and Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio, or catch us on Facebook, or catch us on Twitter, and just throw it out there, throw the question out there, and ask if we can provide you with a copy of the Guide for College-Bound Student Athletes. The current edition that should be out is the 2014-2015 version. And it has a whole lot of great information on your child's transition from high school to college. It talks all about the calendars. It talks about different time periods. It talks about Division 1, 2, and 3, scholarship requirements, the sliding scale, what your grade point average should have. It gives you a whole gamut of information. And if you haven't had a chance to look at it, then parents, you're doing yourself a disservice. If at any time, like I said, this information comes out from the Eligibility Center, if at any time you need to reach out to the NCAA Eligibility Center, let me give you this toll-free number, 877-262-1492. I'll say that number again, 877-214-9212. And if you have any questions, I'll definitely be able to provide that number to you again throughout this broadcast here. But we want to get into the show here, and we want to talk a little bit about a few things that's going on. And I'm just going to try to briefly cover quite a bit of the great information that's in the guide for college-bound student-athletes. And as you know, come 2016, some of this information will be changing. And as that information changes, I will provide you with an update. Excuse me, with an update there as well. And if I don't provide you, I will definitely have some of the experts to join us on the call and in the conversation and share that information with you as well. You know, we've talked about the eligibility of Division I, where you have to have 4 years of English, 3 years of math, so on and so forth. We've talked about that. We talked about qualifiers and non-qualifiers. We even talked about Division II qualifications. What I want to talk about this evening, I want to just give you some information on information they call core courses. Core courses, grade point averages, tests, and special conditions. Core courses, grade point averages, tests, and special conditions. What is a core course? A core course must be an academic course in one of the combination of these areas. It must be in English, math, natural physical science, social science, foreign language, comparative religion, and there's non-doctoral religion, or philosophy, a four-year. It could also be a four-year college preparatory course or be taught at or above your high school regular academic level. Now, I'll hit that one more time. Be an academic course in one of or a combination of these areas, English, math, or science. We all know that. Foreign language, Torah, religion, philosophy. Be a college prep course or be taught at or above your high school regular academic level. Now, these courses are how they determine your grade point average, how they determine your child's grade point average. Not all classes that your child will take in high school for graduation requirement are used as core courses. Again, your core courses are your English, math, science, and social studies, or your social sciences. Also, courses completed through credit by an exam will not be used. You know, in other words, if your child is just given an exam and say, hey, this completes this course, that information will not be used. You know, they like to see that track history of that course being taken, seeing the knowledge of that course being
receiving the knowledge of that course.
excuse me. I don't know why I'm yawning, but I will definitely pull that together. So, check your high school's list. You can go to the NCAA's eligibility website, which is www.eligibilitycenter.org, www.eligibility, all one word, .org. Or you can ask your high school counselor, high school guidance counselor. There's someone at each high school throughout the country that has been assigned to ensure that you understand this information. But if you don't, again, go to Eligibility Center's website, www.eligibilitycenter.org, and check out and see the list of core courses for your child's particular school. Please do not take it for granted that the core courses for one child's school may be the same for another child's school. If you have a friend or your child has a friend that is attending a local school in your area, a rival school right across town, does not necessarily mean that those two schools have the same identical list of core courses listed. So please, please go to the eligibility's website. Check out the list of core courses. Check out the list of core courses. It takes you every bit of a few minutes. If you're having difficulty with it, again, if you're ever having difficulty with it, please know that we are here to assist you. We are here to assist you. Check out the list of core courses. Make sure that every class that your child is taking is listed on that list of core courses, and then you're able to go from there. Again, if you ever have any problems, difficulty, whatever, trying to find the site, or, again, need access to this here document, then by all means, please, please, please reach out to us here at the Parents Code to Parents Network. You can reach us via email, pcphr@aol.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Parents Code to Parents Network, on Twitter at PCP Network. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm yawning. This doesn't make any sense. You can find us on Twitter or PCP Network, or you can find us on Facebook. And we'll be more than happy to assist you with getting this information, getting your hands on this information. Keep track of your child's courses, the units and the credits. You know, if it's a one semester unit, then that's a 0.5. If it's a full year course, then that's a one unit. In other words, if the child is only taking that class for for one semester, not the entire school year, then they get a 0.5 as far as adding up your grade point average. If they're taking it for the entire school year, then the child gets a one unit. In other words, you get a full credit for that course. Full credit for that course. Now, there are some non-traditional courses. What are some of the non-traditional courses that you may not have heard about or that may not be out there? And you may not have, or your child may not have access to these non-traditional courses at his or her school. Non-traditional courses are those courses that are taught through the internet, online, or in a virtual setting, or in a distant learning course, independent study, individualized instruction, correspondence course, some type of computer software program, or anything of that similar means. These are some non-traditional courses. Again, parents, if you're taking some of these non-traditional courses, make sure that this information is added on your child's transcript, and this information may be noted somewhere at your child's school as far as being a non-traditional course, but it's added to the core course list. There are many types of non-traditional educational programs available to high school students. And we have to remember that, because we have high school students that can become eligible, via the internet. They can become eligible via, internet, homeschool, things of that nature. So we have a bunch of non-traditional courses. Again, check with your child's guidance counselor and make sure that that information is available and is posted, and your child will get full credit for any of the non-traditional courses that he or she takes. That's always the important part. They have to be able to get credit for the non-traditional courses that he or she may take. We talked a little bit about testing. You got your two standardized tests, your ACT and your SAT. We've talked on great deal on that. I'm working on getting in a expert that can talk ACT, because we always hear conversations based around SAT, but we very rarely hear a strategist or someone that tutors our children on ACT and help them out in that instance. Now, this question came to me some time ago, a couple weeks ago. Somebody asked the question, what about my child with a GED, the General Education Development Certificate? It may fall under certain conditions, and it may satisfy the graduation requirement, but it will not satisfy grade point average or test score requirement. Your GED will not satisfy, will not satisfy core courses, grade point averages, or test score requirements. Contact the NCAA if you need assistance with that. Contact the NCAA, your GED submission. Contact the NCAA about your GED submission. And the folks at the NCAA you want to reach out to, of course, should be the Eligibility Center. Should be the Eligibility Center. Now, what about our homeschool children? Homeschool students who plan to enroll in the NCAA Division I or Division II school or university must register with the NCAA Eligibility Center and must meet the same requirements as all other students. And we want to direct them to TheEligibilityCenter.org, www.eligibilitycenter.org. Once they get there, click on the link for NCAA College Bound Student Athletes. Students can then register and navigate the resources, the resource tabs, to make sure that they are eligible for enrolling in a Division I or Division II school. Division I or Division II school. Parents, I tell you this all the time, and I can't stress this point enough. when you're going through this recruiting process, or I'm going to back it up just a little bit. When your child reaches middle school and you know that he or she has aspirations of playing college, be it any sport, this is the time we start looking at this stuff, parents. Please do not sell yourself short. I beg you, do not sell yourself short and wait until your child, junior, senior year, to start looking into these things. And if you know of any other parents out there, I ask you, do not sell them short by allowing them to wait until their child's junior, senior year, whether or not it be, you know, a family member, a relative, whatever, or whether or not it be a neighbor or a classmate or a teammate of your child. Do not allow that to happen and allow them to sell themselves short. You know, because I look at this and we look at this as a network of parents, a network of parents that are here to support each other. It's not about me. It's not solely about you. It's about what we're able to do for our children, to help our children prosper and move on and do bigger and better things in life. So you have to surround yourself with some folks that not only understand the process, but understand it to the point where if they're not able to help someone else, then they know who they can point someone else, point to in any particular direction to get some help. We're here at the Parents Coach Parents Network to help each and every parent that we can possibly help. I haven't ran into a situation yet where it was that far out of control where I was unable to help. Now, I've ran into some parents that kind of hesitant to take my guidance because they feel as though they know, you know, they know. And I say, okay, oh, well, I can't beg you, force you, or, you know, try to push you on and make you understand that the information that I'm trying to share with you is in the best interest of not only you, but your child. You know, only thing I can do is continue to try to encourage you to listen and allow me to help you get on track. Allow me to help you get on track. That's all I can do. And after we get to that point and you decide that, you know, hey, you've had enough or you've learned enough or you know enough, then please, by all means, share this with some other parent that is in need or part of the process. Well, parents, we're going to take a little short breather here. Again, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some recruiting terms, things that you need to know, words that you need to add to your vocabulary, you know, things that you know, when you start talking about these various things, your kids understand that you now have a clue. You now have a clue. And when you're able to talk about some of these things, guess what? Coaches understand that you have a clue. Now you became a dangerous weapon. You became that parent that understand what that coach is saying and able to dissect every little word that he or she is sharing with you or sharing with your child in order to make sure that they get the best. Parents, we'll be right back here shortly. You've been listening to the Parents Coach Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and hopefully up to this point you've had a great time and have learned a lot.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
I think as early as possible. It seems like in this day and age, kids are thinking about it younger and younger, and colleges are actually getting out and communicating with kids as they're younger. So it seems to me, you know, at least by freshman, sophomore year, get an idea of whether you want to play in college, and if the answer to that is yes, start to figure out what your game plan is and then move forward.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, we're back. And hopefully share some information with you that was, again, an eye-opener. NAIA schools are those schools out there that very few of us even think about. But they're another great opportunity for our children to take advantage of. You know, don't sleep a blessing. Don't sleep that blessing. If an NAIA coach comes to you and he has something that he can seriously offer, then guess what? By all means, I think you should take advantage of it. Take the advantage of it. Well, parents, I said when we came back, we were going to go into some recruiting term. You can always join in on the conversation at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. We're going to talk a little bit about some recruiting terms, and let's break this down to simplify some of these things. You know, the college coaches must follow the rules and guidelines of this book. That book that we're talking about right now, The College Bound, Guide for College Bound Student Athlete. And you, as a parent, are expected to follow these rules as well. It's not an optional thing. You know, if this information is out there, then you, as a parent, should be able to follow these rules as well. And going about following these rules is understanding some of the terms, some of the terminology that's used in this game called recruiting. You know, you have terms such as contact period, evaluation period, evaluation, official visit, unofficial visit, you know, the whole slew of terms that's out there, prospective student athlete, you know, let's talk about commitment, verbal commitment, unofficial visit, quiet period. I'm going to touch on each one of these here tonight, and if you have any questions, please, again, chime in, ask the question, and we can go from there. The first one I like to talk about is just talking about contact. Contact occurs anytime a coach has a face-to-face contact with student or his or her parent. off the college campus and says more than hello. I'm going to hit that one more time. Contact occurs. And listen to what I'm saying there, folks. And I just said something to be, even before this. Coaches must follow the rules outlined in this here book. And you as parents are expected to follow as well. So when I talk about contact, okay, we're not going to talk semantics. We're not going to talk what ifs. The definition right here in your face. The Guide for College Bound Student Athletes. Contact. A contact occurs anytime a coach has any face-to-face contact with your child or you as a parent off the college campus and said more, hey, Mr. Scott, how you doing? Great to see you today. Your son's looking good. Hopefully we'll get a chance to get him out there to campus here real soon. That's more than hello. That's more than hello. I know some of you are scratching your head right now saying, but he really didn't say anything. He said a whole lot. He said a whole lot because you didn't say that you was interested in coming to his school. You didn't say your child was interested in coming to his school. But he let it be known that he's interested in having you come to his school. Like I said, more than hello. A contact also occurs if a coach has any contact with your child or you at your high school or any location where you are competing or practicing, where you are competing, where your child is competing or practicing. I think I need to hit that one more time. Contact also occurs if a coach has any contact with your child or you as the parent at your child's high school or any location where your child is competing or practicing. That's what contact is. So if you see a coach at an event, coach says more than hi, you have had just had contact. If you see a coach at your child's school or wherever he or she may be practicing, it didn't even say anything about whether or not that child or whether or not that coach spoke to you. It just said whether or not that coach was even there. That's considered contact. Let me go through the whole contact occurs at any time a coach has any face-to-face contact with your child or you as a parent off the college campus and said more than hello. Contact also occurs if a coach has any contact with the child, the athlete, or you as a parent. And I need you to know this. Why do I need you to know this? Because this is where some of the violations come into play. Because we're having contact with some of these coaches out there, and guess what? It's not that time. That's a no-no. It's something that we really need to know so we can understand it, so we know how to play the game. We don't get caught up. We don't listen to the street agent over here trying to tell you, oh, no, it's good, this my dude. No, wrong answer. Let's look at contact period. Contact period. During this time, a coach may have in-person contact with your child or your parent and or the parent, thus, on or off the college campus. I already defined what contact is. Now I'm telling you that there's a period when they can have this kind of contact. During this time, the college coach may have in-person contact with you or your child on or off the college campus. The coach may also watch your child play or visit your child's high school. You and your child may visit the college campus, and the coach may write or telephone your child during this period. So this is the contact period. There's a window. There's an opening. There's an assigned block of days that they call the contact period. And you want to check your recruiting calendar for these blocks of days. But this block of days gives you the information on when you and the coach can interact. I already said what contact is. If the coach says morning, hello, that's considered contact. And I stress that point because you have to know that part. You have to know that part. Because if you don't know that part, then you'll never get the next thing I'm getting ready to say when I talk about dead periods. What is a dead period? Dead period. A dead period, a college coach may not have any backup. Dead period. You kind of write it down. A college coach may not have any in-person contact, you or your child, on or off campus at any time during the dead period. End of story. End of conversation. Do I need to go back and hit that again? Give us a call at 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you. If you have some questions for us this evening, we got some information for you, and we're going to keep on going, moving right along with this great information that we're sharing, which may not have any in-person contact with you or your child on or off campus at any time during the dead period. The college coach may write or telephone you or your child during this period. You hear what I said? The coach may write or telephone you or your child during this period. But person contact, no in-person, no in-person, no face-to-face, face-to-face. Oh, now how, is that Skype? Yes, that's face-to-face. That's Skype. FaceTime. Whatever you want to call it. I just told you what contact is. All right. Evaluation. Evaluation. An evaluation is an activity. Evaluate your academic and athletic ability. The evaluation. And evaluation is an activity by a coach to evaluate the child's academic or athletic ability. This would include visiting your child's high school or watching your child practice or compete. That's an evaluation. Again, during this time period, a coach may watch your child play or visit your child's high school, but cannot have any in-person conversation with you or your child off of the college campus. You and your child can visit the college campus during this period. The coach may write, telephone you or your child during this period. This is the evaluation period. The evaluation period. The evaluation period. During this time, college coach may watch you or visit your high school, but cannot have any in-person contact. Any in-person contact or conversation. This is some elementary stuff. This is stuff that you need to know. This is not a game. This is stuff that can get you and your child in some serious troubles, cause your child to have some serious issues, violation, NCAA type. Understand these terms. Learn the terminology. So I talked about contact. I talked about dead period. I talked about evaluation period. Next one I want to hit is quiet period. Quiet period. During this time, a college coach may not have any in-person contact with you or your child off the college campus. Now, that almost sounds like the dead period. But listen, hear me. We're talking about the quiet period right now. The college coach may not watch you play or visit your high school during this time period. Now, remember with the dead period, they can watch you, but they can't have any contact with you. But during the quiet period, they may not watch you play or visit your high school during this period. You or your child may visit the college campus during this time. A coach may write or telephone you during this time. Write or telephone you or your child during this time. Evaluation period and quiet period. I also stressed on what is contact. And I also stressed on what is evaluation. So please, folks, please take the time to look for the guide for college-bound student athletes and understand what I just said, because these things can come back to haunt you if you don't abide by these rules. These are the make and break situations. These are the situations that get some of our young men and women in trouble. More of our young men than our young ladies. But these are some of the things that come back and haunt us. And we want to try to avoid that. Especially if you're connected to the Parents Coach of Parents Network. That's why we share this information with you. Well, folks, got a few more little tidbits to share with you. Again, if you want to call in and join in on the conversation, or if you have a question for us, you can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Option one, that'll get you in the queue to let us know that you want to join in on the conversation. There's a few more little pieces of terminology that I want to share with you, and then we're going to start to wind this thing down. But this one is one of the key and one of the important ones that bought as well. All of this is important. All of this has its own level of importance. But this one here, I think it's something that kind of sort of really lets you know that you are in, you're on board, you know, the coaches are serious about you. Thing called official visit. Official visit. What is an official visit? What constitutes an official visit? Any visit to a college campus by you and your child, paid for by the college. Short and sweet, to the point. I'll hit it one more time. Any visit to a college campus by your child or you, paid for by the college. College may pay all or some of the following expenses: your child's transportation to and from the college, room and meal. I think it's balls down to a total of 48 hours. While you're on a visit, reasonable entertainment expenses, you know, like taking you out to dinner, a football game or a basketball game you may attend, you know, at the school's expense, you know, anything like that. That's what an official visit constitutes. That can be reasonable entertainment expenses, including 3 complimentary admissions to a home athletic contest. You know, I see oftentimes where these coaches are bringing a massive group to a sporting event, to a football game, stick them on the 50-yard line. If the school is picking up the tab for this, in all actuality, and then turn around and feed you later on that day, in all actuality, they can look at that and say that they have actually had you or they accommodated you for an official visit. Now, whether or not you had the opportunity to do any one-on-one conversations with anyone, meet any academic folks, meet anybody that you know is going to be in the life of your child, socially, professionally, academically, athletically, all that, you know. But if you meet these criteria where reasonable entertainment, you know, got a group of you taking you to a game or whatever, and they feed you a meal, okay, that could be almost considered an official visit. Again, check with the Eligibility Center to see whether or not that's actually considered an official visit. Now, for our unofficial visit, any visit by your child or you paid for by your child or yourself. Anytime you spend your dime, that's an unofficial visit. The only expense you may receive from the college is 3 complimentary admissions to a home athletic contest. You know, now if they feed you and all the other stuff that go along, they can actually look at that as an official visit. You may make as many, you may make as many unofficial visits as you like. You may take those visits at any time. The only time you cannot talk with a coach during an unofficial visit is during a dead period. So there is a time period where the coach has to shut you down and just basically have to ignore you. Remember I said, you know, anything that constitutes contact is coach saying more than hi. Okay. Then we got the verbal commitment and all the other little stuff that goes along with this recruiting process. Well, if you have any questions, I truly apologize because that's just so rude of me. That's the first time I've ever been on the air and had the yawns going on like that. But you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. You know, we hear the issue of, you know, child commit, decommit, all this other kind of stuff. What is a commit? You know, first and foremost, a verbal commit. A verbal commit, this phrase is used to describe a college-bound student athlete's commitment to a school before he or she signs the national letter of intent. This phrase is used to describe a college-bound student athlete's commitment to a school before he or she signs a national letter of intent. The college-bound student athlete can announce a verbal commitment at any time. While the verbal commitment has become very popular for both college-bound student athletes and coaches. This commitment is not binding. It is not binding on either the college-bound student athlete or the college or university. Only the signing of the National Letter of Intent, accompanied by the financial aid agreement, is the binding of both parties. National Letter of Intent. Well, folks, I hope that we have covered enough information this evening just to get your mind going a little bit. You know, we hope that you enjoyed our conversation and hope that you really and truly got something out of this conversation, because we've talked about quite a bit. You know, we covered everything from what is your core courses and went on to talk a little bit about some of the terminology that you have to, it's imperative, folks, you have to be familiar with. That's to help your child to avoid anything that falls under the lines of a recruiting violation. You have to be familiar with this information, because if you're not familiar with this information, you can put yourself and your child into a very, very, very bad situation. We hope that you truly enjoyed this information and got something out of it. And again, at any time we can assist you, help us help you, you can always reach out to us at pcphr@aol.com. pcphr@aol.com. Find us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook if you find us on Facebook. We're there at the Parents Go to Parents Network. And, send us a tweet from time to time. You know, you can also find us on Twitter at PCP Network. Find us on Instagram, PCP Network. You know, we're out there. We're there. We're here for you. We're here for you as parents of these young, prosperous, motivated, dedicated, young athletes, a.k.a. student athletes. And I like to look at them as simply being our children. Well, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. Hopefully I share some information with you this evening. That was an eye-opener. If you heard the information before, share it with someone else. If you never heard it before, if it's never been broken down to you like that before, hey, always come back and listen to the podcast. The podcast is up and available for you at any given time. Well, folks, on that note, I'm going to close out, and I always close out with a little closing piece for my man Keith Wright again. Keith, where you at? Take us away. Close us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma, I'll